Isaiah chapter 2, in your Scofield Bible, page 767. We'll be reading verses 8 through 12, just these five verses, the text verse being that 12th verse, Isaiah 62 and verse 12. And let's stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. We'll read the verses responsively. The Lord hath sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine, for the which thou hast labored. But they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. They that have brought it together shall drink it in the courts of my holiness. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And let's join together, please, on the reading of that final verse. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. And let's pray. Father, it's certainly a wonderful thing to be a part of this family. Thank you for the gathering of the family today, and we pray for your blessing and your help, that the family might receive strength and help from the Word as it's preached. And so bless the hearing of it as well as the preaching of it. Please, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, Holy Father, thou hast brought us again to this place. We come now to review a book we've been reviewing Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night here in this church for almost 96 years. And over 24 of those together as pastor and people. Only book in the world could cause people to assemble like this every week. No other book could stand inspection for 24 years, 96 years as it were. But here it is, inexhaustible, always fresh, the blessed, eternal Word of God. We just look at another one of the orchids in its garden today, to see its loveliness and smell its fragrance. Bless us as we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you notice this statement? And they shall call them the holy people. That's us, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. I want to speak this morning on that subject. Thou shalt be called sought out. What a beautiful statement. God didn't say thou shalt be called sought, but he said thou shalt be called sought out. Now there's a difference between seeking and seeking out something. God says thou shalt be called, sought out. Let me illustrate. I was on an airplane not long ago, and I lost my fountain pen, my ballpoint pen. It fell down between the seat somewhere, and I couldn't find it. And I sought it and sought it and sought it. And finally, the fellow behind me said, it's over under your seat next to the window. And I got the pen. I had sought the pen. Still funny thing happened. Went back to the washroom after a while. And I was washing, and I happened to think of something I needed to do at home here. And so I always keep cards in here where I can make notes. And when you get my age, your brain is in your pocket rather than up here in your head. And so I took the pen out in the washroom, and I dropped the pen in the commode. And I said, forget it. Now, if I had dropped my ring in the commode, I would have sought it out, but not the pen. I had another pen in a briefcase, so I just let the airlines have it as a gift and deducted it from the income tax. Now, the difference is, when I dropped the pen under the seat, I sought it. But I wasn't willing to seek it out. No way. That's what God is saying here. When the loss is greater and the search is more intense, it's called sought out. Had I gotten down in the commode, I don't mean I'd have gotten down in the commode, but had I a lot of folks would love to have flushed it if I was down in there, I'd be sure. But had I gotten my hand down and reached around down in there to get the pen, I would have been seeking it out. But now, sitting there at the seat, I was not seeking it out. And that's what God is saying. God doesn't say, I'm just seeking you. God says, I'm seeking you out. And you should be called the sought out. God said, I'm not just looking for you. If you're in church on Sunday morning, I'm going to seek you out of the septic tank of sin on Saturday night. God says, I'm after you. I'm going to seek you out. Doesn't matter where you are, I'm coming to get you. I'm not just looking for you if you grow up in the Sunday school where I can seek you. But if you go into sin, I'm going to seek you out. And so God goes into the nightclubs and the cesspools of sin and the septic tank in the mire of iniquity. And God seeks you out. In fact, it says, now, you call the sought out. This morning, if you're here in this service and you've never yet received Christ as your Savior, if you do not know that your name is written in heaven, if you do not know that you're God's child, this morning, your name is sought out. God says, you shall be called sought out. You see, He's seeking you. You may be mingled with the mire, but He's seeking you out. You may be in the cesspool of iniquity, but you cannot go away from Him. You may flee to the bawdy house, yet He stalks you. You may flee to the depths of depravity, and yet He stalks you. He wants you. He's always after you. He follows you to the tavern. He pursues you to the red light district. He follows you to the jail cell. He goes to the Navy barracks and Army barracks and dormitories, and He seeks you out. He's after you. He wants you. You're just no a ballpoint pen to Him. You're a pearl of great price, and He's willing to go anywhere to get you. He's seeking you out today. He continues to inspect an abominable mess of filth in order that He may find you. The other day, a few months ago, I was opening mail, and somebody had sent a check to the church to me and made it out to the church, but addressed it to me, a check for $5,000. I have several awful habits. I've got an awful habit of putting Bibles down and not knowing where I put them. I've left Bibles all over America and can't find them in the strangest places. And I have other habits, too, such as cussing and drinking and other things I'm trying to get rid of. But now, don't spread that around, folks. But I'm trying to keep it secret. Anyway, I open my mail. Every letter that's addressed to me personally, I sometimes get hundreds a week. But every letter that's got my name on it, personally, I open it. And so I'll be opening mail, and I don't use the letter opener because I always write on the letter and tell Miss McKinney what to do with it. And but I write an order, so I keep my pen out like that. And so I take a letter and I slit it like that with my pen. I always do that. So I have letter openers and like them, and they're beautiful to look at. I just never use one. And so I take throw the one's not good, I throw it away.
And a few months ago, I got the stacks mixed up. I got to keeping the trash and throwing the good things in the garbage can. You know how you do. Here's one guy wants to sell you a free ticket to Mars, and I've been. I don't want to go again. And so I throw that one away, good one here, that one away, good one here. And then I got throwing the good the trash with the good. And I put a check for $5,000 in the garbage. And, oh, my soul, I had so much garbage. I had seeds of fruit and fruit peelings and everything else and that thing. And I had food, and somebody brought me some chicken after a meal at the church. I had chicken bones in there. But I took the garbage and put it in the big sack when it's full of stuff and threw it in the garbage can out here. $5,000 check in the garbage can. And, boy, I tell you, I went out there and I sought that thing out. In the first place, I didn't know. See, all of our garbage here is kept in big sacks, and the sacks thrown in there. Well, we don't put our names on our garbage sacks. And the thing was full. Well, I didn't know which garbage sack was mine. And in the first place, I was afraid that the garbage man had come. I rushed out there right quick and started with one garbage sack, and then started with another garbage sack. I took garbage sacks in the study, and I had chicken bones and fruit peelings and peach seeds and everything else. And what was I doing? I was seeking something out. Now, if that check had been for a nickel, I'd have looked around to see if I could find it in the office and forgotten about it. But $5,000 check, good night. They don't come every day. They don't come every week. They don't come every month. That's the only one ever came. And I sought it out. I opened every garbage. I found it, by the way. Opened every garbage sack out there till I found it. And by the way, I'd still be out there looking for it if I hadn't found it. And if the garbage man had come, I'd been at the city garbage dump looking. Why? Because I'm going to find it. And God said, He said, you're so valuable. You're a pearl of great price. He said, you're so valuable. God just didn't say, I'm seeking you. God says, I'm seeking you out. I like that scripture over in Luke 15 when it talks about the lost sheep. It says, he sought it till he found it. He just didn't look. He's after you this morning. And God said, I'm after you. And by the way, you may die and go to hell, but you'll not go to hell without being sought out by our wonderful Savior. And when no one wants you, and the world has spit you out, and your beauty is faded, and your usefulness is waned, you will still be valuable as a sought-out pearl of great price. I don't know why God seeks you out, but God loves you. I don't know why we're so important to God, but we are. And there is not a person in this room this morning but who is the apple of God's eye and the object, not just of God searching, but of God searching out. God is searching out. You are His sought out, the Bible says. And then not only those of you who are not saved this morning, who's not saved, does God seek you out as a pearl of great price. But if you've known His presence and you are His child, but the evil one has lured you into sin and away from His side, He says you are sought out ones. You know to whom God is speaking in Isaiah 62? He's speaking to a nation of people who have rejected Him. He's speaking to a nation of people who have gone into sin, and God used Nebuchadnezzar as an axe of judgment. And the people have been taken, are going into captivity, but God said, Israel, you're my people, and you may be in sin, and you may have left me, and you may be in bondage. But He said, you are called, sought out, and God will stalk you till He gets you back. No gloom can hide you. No filth can conceal you. No deed can make you unattractive to Him. For 20 long years, God sought out Jacob until God brought Jacob back to Bethel. For over 10 years, God sought out Naomi until He brought her back to Bethlehem. For a lifetime, He pursued Gomer until she came back to God and back to Hosea. And God sought out Onesimus all the way to jail. And he followed Lot to Sodom. And he followed Abraham to Egypt. And he followed Elimelech to Moab. And he followed David to murder and adultery. And he followed Thomas to doubt. And he followed Peter to denial. He followed Noah to drunkenness. He followed Jacob to Haran. He followed Elijah to fear. And God comes this morning and walks up and down the aisles of this room and up and down these pews, and God sees that person who's cold of heart, whose life has gone away from God, whose fellowship with God has been broken. God loves you, and God wants you back. And God is seeking you out today. God just doesn't want you. God just doesn't seek you. God is seeking you out. And if you'll let God, He'll reach down into the miry clay. He'll reach down into the cesspool of iniquity. And God will say, I don't care where you are. And God, as it were, listen, becomes sin. And in becoming sin, God says, I'm willing to get my righteous hands, my perfect hands, in the filthiest place possible if I can get you out. I'm willing to put my righteous body on Calvary and let them crucify me. Let them strip me naked. I'm willing to go down as deep as I've got to go. I'm willing to go to the body house to get you. I recall one time in 49. On New Year's Eve, well, the day before New Year's. New Year's Eve to us in Texas was always all day the day before, but many of you folks, New Year's Eve is the night before New Year's, and you just didn't have the privilege of having the education we Texas folks had. And it was on about noon that day before New Year's. New Year's Day was going to be on January 1st that year, and it was going to be on Sunday also. I remember I was at our little parsonage down in East Texas, and all of a sudden God broke my heart for my daddy. My daddy was a bartender, a drunk, an alcoholic, and I got in our little car and I drove 150 miles from Marshall down Highway 80, a two-lane highway those days, and I went to find my daddy. It was a Saturday afternoon. I was going to get my daddy and bring him back to Marshall, Texas, and sober him up if he's drunk. And I was going to preach to him the next day and try to get him saved. And I didn't know where he was. I knew some places he hung out. And I went from tavern to tavern. And I said to one fellow, you seen Affy Hiles? He said he hadn't been here today. He comes in here some. Not today. And I went to another. And I said, you seen Affy Hiles? And they called him Pop. Pop. You seen Pop? And said, not today. He comes in here often, not today. And I went all over East Dallas, all up and down Swiss Avenue, and all up and down Live Oak Street, and up and down Bryan Street, and up and down Haskell Street, and San Jacinto Street, and Washington Street, and Hall Street, and East Grand Street, and Ross Avenue. I went to every tavern I could find. I was going to get my daddy. I was going to find him. I didn't care. I wasn't seeking my daddy. I was seeking out my daddy. Finally, I went to Hunt's Saloon, and my dad was sitting at the bar, and he was drunk as he could be, and he was drinking liquor at the time. And I walked up to my big old 235-pound giant of a man, strongest man I ever met, my daddy, and I weighed 145 pounds. I put my arm around him, and I said, Daddy, I've been looking for you. I've been looking for you. I want you to come with me and go with me back and spend New Year's Day with me. I want to preach to you tomorrow morning and tomorrow night. And my big old daddy was drunk. He said, you're not going to take me. I'm not going to go to church. I haven't been to church in years. I said, Daddy, I didn't come to try to take you. I came to take you. And I had my big Scofield Bible, big loose-leaf Scofield Bible in my hand in that tavern. I've never been to tavern before. And in Hunt's Saloon, Hunt's Tavern, I said, Dad, you're going to go. Now, I said, either you and I fight and your son and you have a brawl in a tavern or you're coming with me. And my drunkard daddy was led like a little puppet dog to my car. And I got some coffee and tried to sober him up and took him back down to East Texas. And the next morning I preached for the first time in my life to my drunkard daddy. And the next night I preached for the last time. I'm telling you, I went to seek him out. I didn't go to try to get him. I went to get him. I went to tavern after tavern after tavern after tavern. And be called on beer joints and saloons. And I went to this one and that one. Why? I'm seeking out my daddy, and God loves you, and you're the apple of God's eye, and you're the pearl of great price. And God says, I'm going to give you a name. Sought out! And today, if you've wandered away from God, then you're not close to God. God is seeking you out. And God, listen, you say, I'll be glad when God quits hounding me. You'll be hounded until the last breath you breathe. God is seeking you out. I am.
One of our young boys that grew up in our church. You know, I said last night, of all the joys I have in First Baptist Church of Hammond, I have no greater joy than to marry one of our couples, where both of them grew up in our church, and where they epitomize all we stand for and all we believe. And likewise, I have no greater heartbreak than those young people that grew up in our church, and I'm their pastor all their lives, and they go out into sin and break all of our hearts. I remember one day a family came to our church. They had several children. They had a little boy. He's just a little tight, 2 or 3 years old. Never saw a more wiggly boy in my life. Oh, he wiggled. He wore wore out the seat where he was sitting almost. And he grew up here. And then into sin. Young people, if you had the slightest idea what it does to us, you'd never drink a bottle, a drop of liquor in your life. If you had the slightest idea the heartbreak it means to us, you'd never leave the will of God for your life. But that young man went out into sin. Days became months, months became years, years became many. And one night, I was in my study, and I'd counseled for almost 11 o'clock. And I walked out the door, and sitting in my waiting room was a little hunk of a hunk of depleted flesh. And I looked at his face, and I saw the face of a young man, same little boy that grew up in our church. And I went in, and I said, I'm so glad to see you. And I put my arms around him, and I hugged him, and I said, I'm so glad to see you. And he reeked with the smell of dope and alcohol, and his clothes were dirty. And I said, what can I do for you? He said, Brother Hiles, I can't help myself. I've gone too far. And young people, that's the tragedy of it all. For just one little smoke of pot, that'd be different. One little bottle of beer. But the devil creates an appetite in you that only he can fill. And then he comes in. And I looked at him and I said, why did you come back to see me? And he said, Brother Hiles. He said, I've hated you. I've hated you. He said, you preached about my sins and you were part of expelling me from school because of them. I've hated you. But he said, Brother Hiles, I've never been in a tavern and touched a bottle of liquor without seeing your face. I've never taken or smoked any pot or put a needle in my arm. I never have. Every place I've gone in the deepest of sin, I've always seen your face. He said, Brother Hiles, when I decided I'd been to the bottom, I knew you'd be here. I love that statement. I knew you'd be here. One young man said to me, he said, Preacher, he said, I was in St. Louis, Missouri, the depths of sin. He said, it's about 9:30 one night. And he said, I've had it all I can take. And young people, you will have all you can take. You will, you will, you will, you will. And he said, all I can take. And he said, I wonder who loves me. He said, is there anybody in this world who loves me? He said, Brother Hiles, I saw your face. And I said, Brother Hiles loves me. And I said, I know what Brother Hiles is doing right now. He's in his study trying to help somebody. And he said, Brother Hiles, I came back because I knew you'd be here. I always knew you loved me. I pastored in Texas. Years passed. A little boy that was a junior boy in our church down there, he grew up. One day I was stunned completely to see him walk down the hallway of our office area. And I said, son, what are you doing here? And he said, Brother Hiles, he said, I'm in awful sin. My life is ruined and wrecked. And he said, Preacher, everything you ever said about sin is true. And then he said this. He said, I hitchhiked 1,000 miles because I knew you would care. I can take you beyond that.
I can take you farther than that. I mean, somebody else cares. Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Oh, listen this morning. You, I don't care who you are. If you're away from God, you've wandered far away from God. God says your name is sought out. God says, show me. The cesspool you're in, I'll put my righteous hands down and pick you up. Show me the septic tank where you're living. I'll put my righteous hands down and pick you up. I don't care where you are. I've got to get filth and mire and muck and mire on my hands. I'll seek you out, God says. You're called to sort out. This morning, if you're here and you're realizing that you know that God has called you to a special work for himself, he'll seek you out. You can't front run from the will of God. He'll seek you out. He's after you. And he'll keep on seeking and keep on seeking. But there's something I think as sweet as all of this. And that is that if you're his child, if you're his child, he wants you to fellowship with himself. And he is seeking you out to pray. He's seeking you out to walk with him. He seeks you out. I was out in Southern California. The closest friend I ever had as a boy was a boy named Richard Newton. Richard Newton and I, in high school, took 40 classes, and 39 of those classes in 4 years we sat side by side every class. For 4 years, every morning. One morning, I'd ride my bicycle about a mile down to Richard's house and leave my bicycle there. We'd catch a city bus and ride to high school. I'd ride back in the afternoon and get the bicycle. Richard and I would get with a gang of guys and play ball together somewhere. And then next morning, Richard would ride a mile or two to my house on his bicycle. His bicycle at my house. We'd catch the bus there. I never, as a boy, a young person, never had a closer friend than Richard. I won't go into the whole story. It's in my books, and I've told it. But I was out in Southern California, and I was sitting on the platform about to preach in Canoga Park, California, many years ago. And somebody handed me a note, said, call Richard Newton. Richard was a movie producer and a movie star in Hollywood. He was the creator and the founder of the Smothers Brothers telecast. And I was a preacher. And Richard was not living for God, I guess still isn't. And I was a preacher. And a little note said, call Richard Newton. You think I wouldn't have sought him out? I called him. He wasn't there. I called him somewhere else. He wasn't there. I loved him and still do. And I sought him out. We'd gone different directions. We'd wandered apart. 17 years since I'd seen him. I called him Little Newt. He called me Hopeless Hiles. Everybody called me that. And so when I saw him, I said, Little Newt, I'm so glad to see you. He said, Hopeless, I'm glad to see you too. And I'm saying that God wants you back. You've wandered far away from God, but God is seeking you out this morning. God wants you. God loves you. Listen, I mean, you are the jewel, the pearl of great price. You are the diamond in the rough. Hey, God says, if it's a ballpoint pen, I'll let it stay down there in the commode. But if it's a pearl of great price, I'll pick it out. But I want you to notice this last thing, and that is God seeks you out. He wants you out. This modern Christianity says you're a movie star and get saved. Go ahead in your dirty movies and then stay there. You're saved. No, God seeks you out. This kind of Christianity says you're living in sin and the kind that the Hustler magazine guy is supposed to have gotten. No, God doesn't just seek you. He seeks you out. He says, come out from among them, be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You see them testify on television sometimes. Well, I just thank God. I'm a nightclubber, but I've been saved. and we're having Bible meetings. You know, it always bothers me. If you want to have a Bible meeting, go to church. That bothers the fire out of me. And, of course, one little gal, a strip teaser. I mean a strip teaser. She said, I've been saved now, and I go to Bible club meetings. But she said, God gave us the body, and God made the body, and the body's beautiful. And so I, no, God seeks you out. He seeks you out. When the last drop of sin's pleasure has been drunk, the last friend has walked away and left you lonely. When you're no longer attractive to anyone and you face the wall and see no way out, let me remind you, you shall be called sought out. The Holy Spirit of God's been walking up and down these aisles today. He stopped at your pew and walked in and sat down beside many of you. And the Holy Spirit says, I'm seeking you out. You may say no this morning, but He'll keep tracking you. You may turn Him down this morning, but He's still after you. He'll seek you out. It matters not where you go. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. You think that if I'd go take the garbage place out here and get all those sacks out of the garbage can, and you think I'd open every sack I could and go through a bunch of fried chicken and chicken bones and greasy stuff and reach down through that garbage to try to find a $5 check? $5,000 check. You think if I do that, don't you think that Christ, who loved you enough to die for you, is going to, and that's what He's doing this morning. He keeps on going through the garbage. And that's what sin is. It's just a bunch of filth and garbage. He keeps on going through the garbage. And God says, I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Doesn't find you in that garbage dump. He picks out another sack and starts going through that one. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. I'm looking for you. Boy, I'll tell you what. When I found that $5,000 check, I had a shouting spell. And when God finds you, and you come to Him. You know, the Bible says there's joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner repents. People say, that means the angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Well, they may do it. That's not what that says. Well, it says, okay, in the presence of the angels, that means our loved ones rejoice. That's okay. That's fine. That's good. But that's not what it means. It means that God rejoices. He is in the presence of the angels. He seeks you out today. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Listen to it again. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out. Our Heavenly Father,